telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Steamy, Brian. It's just steamy outside. I don't. Perhaps that's steamy. Who do I? Sean Connery when he's hot in Wisconsin summer.
Yes, it's very steamy outside. It's like a bowl of chowder. if you shove your face in a bowl of chowder, maybe some clams.
I mean, it's gross out. Hope you're all staying cool. Remember, drink lots of water. Check on your neighbors, especially if they've got respiratory concerns, little babies, or maybe are on the older end of the spectrum. Check in on one another. Let's care about each other, Wisconsin. My big thanks, first of all, to Matt Rothschild for filling in for me yesterday. I got to tell you, I'm at that age where if I've got too much on the plate for too long, the system just shuts down. I just was laid out, couldn't sleep Sunday night, had a fever. Not great. Thanks so much, Matt. Thanks, Brian, for rolling with it. Thanks to all the great guests yesterday to kick off what is week 4 of Joe Biden's top 100. Today is, let's see, day 17, I think, if I'm counting correct. No. It's day 21.
No, I think day 17.
It is day 17.
We did 3 weeks already. That's 15.
Yes.
It's 5 a week.
16, 17.
And then yesterday
I do
was
maths.
16,
I swear I'm 17. An economist. Hey, I did
math off the air and then brought it to the air.
That's helpful. That's why Brian keeps me honest and keeps my mathing correct here.
Although today, I don't know.
I hear ya. It is also debate week. It's like Shark Week, but debate week. Very exciting.
Yeah, I talked to my mother-in-law. Is very conservative and generally right-leaning, and it was really interesting to hear her take because she's like, I'm not looking like there's nothing that anyone's going to say that's going to sway your opinion, is it? And she's like, no, I'm just watching it like entertainment. This is like a reality show for me.
Well, and that is the point that I have made both on this show and others, is that debates are crappy ways to pick candidates. They're like the beauty pageant of litmus tests for elected officials. The way the media cycles work right now, punchy one-liners that they overprep, that they have comedy writers come up with, that's the stuff that starts to get emphasized right now. The rules for this debate are a bit different, which I think will make it interesting. But in case you're not sure what you're going to be doing this Thursday night for the debate, don't worry. Civic Media's got you covered. There's going to be live coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to miss that. But if you are in and around the Madison area and you would like to see me in three dimensions, in live and in living color, chopping it up with the old devil's advocates, I will be live at the Barrymore Theater. It's free. You can come. Mike, Dom, and I will talk a bit about the debate. Ahead of the debate, there might be some end closing commentary. There'll be fellowship and fun as much as there can be with what is sure to be a dumpster fire of a debate.
I can tell you one thing, as the guy who usually cuts all the sound from post-debate situations and sometimes goes back to old debates, I have never gone back and gotten the, hey, can you get that one thing where that one person made a really good point about this policy?
Yeah.
No, it's always, hey, get that thing where they said the stupid thing.
Yes.
Or call the other person an idiot. That's the sound we want.
Well, and that's... Again, I return to my first point. Debates are crappy ways to pick elected officials.
I know, because if we went by debates alone, Scott Walker would have... Wait, no.
No chance. He was no bad chance. At that, too. As it has been said for quite a long time, I forget who said it first, but campaigning is poetry, governing is prose. Meaning, you know, people that make the best campaigners maybe aren't the best debaters. People that are the best debaters maybe aren't the best campaigners. I will tell you one thing. Oftentimes, campaign skill and debate skill, let me tell you, doesn't translate into actual leadership skills when it comes to the detailed day-to-day business of government and getting stuff done.
Case in point, Governor Evers.
Yeah, I mean, that guy is, it's like watching grass grow. Big pregnant pause. Yeah, it's like that, right? Like, this is not, Tony Evers is the opposite of entertaining. But guess what? Conservative or Democrat, Tony Evers is a good administrator. He gets things done. Yes, there are partisan issues, but on balance, the man has gotten things done. Despite the fact that he faces what can only be described as a gerrymandered into oblivion state legislature. So, listen, folks, you want to join the conversation. We have lots going on. I'm going to be talking about abortion today. That's going to be coming up at the 2:30 hour. We have a special guest for the Biden week for day 17. I can finally do the maths. I'm going to be joined by Annalise Eicher, the director of communications at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to dig deep on all that. We're also going to be talking about Donald Trump's, I can't use the bat guano crazy, bat guano crazy suggestion that he made last week at a meeting of GOP members, which they then mooned over in an embarrassing sort of sycophantish way. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how the CEOs of the biggest companies in the nation are not supporting Trump. Again, not supporting Trump. Don't believe all the hype. They're just as scared as I am about another Trump presidency. And last but not least today, we're going to be talking about Julian Assange. There seems to be a bit of a deal that has been struck. And don't worry, I'll thread it all together. And there might even be a little bit of a discussion of my favorite judge and yours, the genius, the Mensa member, the woman who's, you know, really setting the bar high for all judging of judges everywhere, Aileen Cannon, dippy-doo Aileen Cannon, having a series of just totally pointless hearings for the last 3 days in federal court on arguably the most important criminal case of the modern legal area, the one about the super secret spy documents that Donald Trump stole. That one. You know, the thing that's a little bit similar to what Julian Assange has been in exile for from his native Australia and has been fighting extradition to the United States for what, I don't know, 15 years, something like that? No, not quite that long. It came out of the 2016 election. Oh, yeah, the Clinton emails. Yes, yes, all of that.
But have you referred to the calendar yet, or all of the calendars possible to make sure that all the calendars are aligned to make sure that it's possible to go and do the thing? Also, have you dotted your I's and crossed
your T's?
Like, she probably would be going through making sure that everybody has dotted I's and crossed T's, and there's no spelling errors in any of the documents. We got to make sure that this is above the board.
She hands out demerits for those kinds of things. Very touchy. Thin skin doesn't really comprehend she's thin skin, does not comprehend spoken or written word well, doesn't know how to read case law accurately, even when it's spelled out and the exact page on which the legal principle is stated is provided to. Yeah, she's basically the opposite of what you would want in a judge at any level, let alone a permanent lifetime appointee to the federal trial court system.
There are two different fonts on this document. Those are footnotes.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. That's Aileen Cannon in a footnote nutshell. I don't know, does that work?
Footnote: a nutshell does not actually consume an entire person.
Yes. Dick from Madison hopping on the phones nice and early. Love it. How you doing, Dick? Hope you're staying cool. What do you got for us?
Well, to debates, I'm not even old enough to remember this. The Kennedy-Nixon debate in 1960, people that listened to it on the radio perceived Nixon as the winner, Mm-hmm. And then that relatively new medium, television, they perceived Kennedy for whatever reason. But Nixon actually, I guess, from what I've read, was not feeling well.
Yeah, he was sweating profusely. Yes.
Yeah. And his jowls were shaking.
Yeah, and let me just say this about that. Anyway, yeah, he just looked awful, haggard, and the rest is history. But I just think that from what I'm hearing about Thursday night, just get him talking about sharks.
Hannibal Lecter. Don't forget Hannibal Lecter.
Yep. Anything to get him, because those CEOs you were just talking about, some of them I've read came out of that meeting and said he doesn't have a clue what he's talking about.
Correct.
He's just muttering away.
Correct.
So get him off on one of his tangents and let the whole world see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be really interesting. I heard some, thanks so much for calling, Dick. I heard some commentary this morning that the Biden team is preparing for like two different versions of Trump. The unhinged Trump that babbles about Hannibal Lecter electrocution and sharks, and the Trump that actually tries to say something and stay on message. There's only one Trump.
Well, do you want him on Adderall or not is really the question.
Give him the Adderall.
Do you want that? Like, do you?
Oh yeah, I just want to see what happens.
No, you've already seen what happens on the Adderall. I'm just saying, which version of him do you want?
I just want it on a debate stage, right? Indulge me, please. Indulge me.
He was stalking Hillary Clinton like a serial killer in the background, like I didn't get enough camera time, like walking behind her, and people
yes,
were like, "Yeah."
He was a reality show participant trying to get his face out camera. He's Brian Kelly. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick with us, folks. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
So there's a shark 10 yards away from the boat.
Holy mackerel, folks. Let's get.
Baby, can't you see? I'm calling. What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. Producer extraordinaire Brian Kelly in the booth. If you give us a call at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, be sure that you say hello to Brian. I'm Maggie Dawn. To set up what is day 17 of Joe Biden's top 100, this week, healthcare. It's a week, and we're talking about reproductive rights today. To set that up, I wanted to share with you what I find to be just exactly what we knew was going to happen, and yet it is still so disturbing when I read the study. Reporting by the AP and other outlets of this, a study published Monday on the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision, for the first time in modern history, taking rights away from people that the Supreme Court had previously granted. On the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision, a study was published by John Hopkins University that showed that in the wake of Texas's near total abortion ban, which went into effect in September of 2021, Texas's infant death rate increased by 8%. In addition, more babies died of birth defects. So I'm going to repeat that. John Hopkins University, on Monday, the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision, published a study that found that following Texas's near total abortion ban that came into effect in September of 2021, infant mortality rates in Texas went up by 8%. So thank you, Texas, for protecting life by letting more babies die. That's what you got there. Among causes of death, birth defects showed a 23% increase. Compared to a decrease of about 3% in the rest of the United States. Put your heads around that. In the state of Texas, they basically said that to protect life, they're going to allow, force women to have babies with fatal birth defects. I wonder how that baby experienced those few days or hours of life. Do you only care about pain or potential sentience when the baby's in the womb? Again, this points to what I have said all along, that when you dig into these ridiculous and draconian abortion restrictions, what you have is a practically inoperable set of laws. That you can't create laws that actually support the value that you purport to have, that is respect for life, preservation of life. Because when you begin to apply this law over time, what ends up happening is that you are not respecting life. You are not valuing life. You are causing and inflicting grievous pain and more death. Well, now Johns Hopkins University's proven that. The Texas law, just by way of reference, blocks abortion after any detection of cardiac activity, which usually happens 5 to 6 weeks into pregnancy. By the way, nobody knows they're pregnant within that period of time unless you're actually trying to get pregnant, which means you want to be pregnant. Because you've only missed one period. You're like, oh, gosh, well, I'm a week late, because you get a period once a month.
And not everything is completely accurate on those either.
No, I never had a 28-day cycle. I worked out too much. I just never did. It was always irregular. I just talked about my period on live radio.
Oh my goodness.
But this is the problem. This is an appalling set of facts and reality. Now, here's the other reality. Every reasonable, legitimate doctor told conservatives that this would be the outcome, right? Like,
yeah,
that's what physicians know, because they know more than regular people about medicine and bodies and stuff.
It's almost like they went to school for 12 years and then had residency for multiple years after that, and then just then were allowed to have their own practice.
Yeah.
It's almost like people come from all over the world to learn what we know about that.
I have, and let me be clear again, I have no problem if your personal set of moral and or religious beliefs makes abortion not an option for you. But despite what Louisiana may say about putting the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom in the state, we are not a religious government. That's the whole point of the First Amendment and the Establishment Clause. Government doesn't take a religious position. It doesn't adopt one set of laws because it is more in line with one particular religious viewpoint. I want to say that again really slowly. It is not a United States value. It is not an American value for our government to adopt one set of laws or to take a legal approach or to define women's rights or anybody's rights because that more closely aligns with one religious viewpoint. That's why having the Ten Commandments in classrooms is an abomination. That's why Dobbs was an abomination, because you don't get there without government saying this worldview, this particular religious worldview, is the right view. It is the government endorsing a particular religious viewpoint of the universe. And as a result, babies are dying. Don't take my word for it. That's a study published yesterday on the second anniversary of that abomination called the Dobbs decision by Johns Hopkins University. We come back. I'll take a couple of calls. We're going to dive in more on this issue. It is the week of healthcare. It is day 17 of Joe Biden's top 100. I'm Maggie Dawn. Your farm update is next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров «Персональный спутник».
What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back. It is day 17 of Joe Biden's top 100. We're in the healthcare week. Don't worry, we won't. These topics, the environment, the economy, it's not just a one-hit week wonder. We'll come back to these. But today I wanted to talk about abortion. Yesterday was the second anniversary of an absolute abomination of a Supreme Court decision that, in this legal scholar's opinion, will go down in the annals of American history, just as Plessy versus Ferguson has, excuse me, and other stupid, unsound, and immoral decisions by the Supreme Court. You know, thanks, Justice Alito. Wait, is that a flag flying outside your house or your summer house or whichever house we're talking about it? Yeah, it is.
Well, that's just my wife.
That's my wife.
She's unruly.
As those women are, better be sure they can't have abortions. Forget that we're talking about abortion for a second. I want to ask everybody out there a couple of questions. Do you believe that you should be able to freely travel between states in the United States? Right? That's a question. Do you believe that your healthcare decisions are entitled to privacy and should not be poked through by the government? Do you believe that your traveling about the country shouldn't be tracked by the government? Do you believe that life-saving medications and medications that allow you to make critical decisions about your health care, that in the best circumstances, those should be low cost or zero cost? Do you believe that you should be able to freely choose your religion? If you answered yes to any of the above questions, guess what? You're pro-choice. And I'll tell you what's happening, because In places like Alabama and Texas, guess what they're doing? They're trying to criminalize women traveling across state lines to seek the abortions that they cannot get in places like Alabama and Texas. You know what that is? That sounds like East Germany. That sounds like the USSR. It sounds like North Korea. But these are actual policy proposals.
How does one execute that? How does one enforce that?
Yeah. It's called tracking people. It's the government tracking you. It's the government violating HIPAA. Do you believe that if you need emergency life-saving care, that under the federal law that demands that emergency rooms provide that care, that that should be an action, that yes, we should follow that law, right? Do you believe that couples in consultation with their doctors should be able to choose the fertility treatments that work best for their family? If you said yes to any of the above, guess what? You are pro-life. Excuse me, pro-choice. You are pro-choice. Let's take a couple callers. Karina from Milwaukee, always happy to see you on the list. How are you doing today? What do you have to say?
Hi, Maggie. I'm so glad you brought up this topic because, you know, I work for a healthcare and it really pains me to even think about it, that somebody can tell you how your life is going to be, how many kids you're going to have, what decision, life-changing decision you have to take for your own expenses and your own responsibility, because nobody takes responsibility. Nobody even offers you, hey, you're going to have a child. Let me give you a free daycare. Let me give you insurance from the state, since the state wants to rule it, until they're 25 years old. Help me, something. But besides the point, all these babies died, right? But how many survived with a half of a brain, with an open spine, with a disease, what genetically going back and forth in the population? I know it maybe sounds really bad, but I'm a healthcare professional. Please explain to me, why do you need to bring a child to this life when you know at 12 weeks that there is a half of a brain? Why are you bringing this soul to internal suffering?
Yeah, Karina, this is the point, right? Thank you so much for calling. Always nice to hear from you. Thank you for listening. Please keep doing so. You know, again, all of these questions that Karina's asking, that I'm asking, they point inexorably in one direction. You cannot ban this. You cannot, this does not work in operation. The very values that you articulate, respect of life, reduction of pain and suffering, the policy that you advocate, the pro-life viewpoint, creates more death. It creates more suffering. It is the opposite of respect for life. So please keep your religion off my body. Keep your religion out of my government. I beg of you. I thought we fought the Revolutionary War in part over that very thing, because we don't believe in a divine right of kings. We don't believe that there should be a Church of America. We don't believe in taxation without one person, one vote representation. These are American values, not the Ten Commandments in classrooms, not your religion on my body imposed without my permission. Mark from Prairie du Sac, how you doing?
Yeah, doing okay. And what gets me is the confusion our Supreme Court seems to have taken in not seeing a right to privacy in the Constitution. In the Ninth Amendment, in the Bill of Rights, it actually says that we didn't enumerate all the rights in this Constitution. I mean, that the people retain certain rights that are not enumerated. As with some of the arguments, if I remember from high school history class, that's one of the reasons that some of the founders opposed the Bill of Rights, because they feared enumerating rights would actually prove to be a limit on our rights. I mean, as far as for the whole religious element in it, that Roger Williams, a century before our Constitution was, over a century before our Constitution was written, he actually said that the state had no business enforcing religion, especially the ones that he admitted the government had the right to enforce laws, but he said the government had no right on matters of conscience.
Yes.
That, and perhaps I'm not saying it exactly as he said, but he says that the government's got no business, being coercive in terms of enforcing a religion.
Yeah, I mean, yes. In case we've forgotten exactly what Mark pointed out, the Ninth Amendment states that the list of rights enumerated in the Constitution is not exhaustive, and that people retain all rights not enumerated. Where is the conservative uproar over the Ninth Amendment? Enough with the Second Amendment. Oh, wait. I thought you respected life and wanted to reduce pain and suffering, but unless it's a bump stock?
Yeah, at the RNC, you can't bring tennis balls.
Or rubber chickens.
But you can definitely bring your AR-15.
Yep. No worries, folks. I'm sure that will respect life and reduce pain and suffering.
It makes sense.
Okay,
let's... Here's a hypothetical for you. Just a little sidebar hypothetical for you. Let's say I'm at the RNC, okay? And you happen to be at a hospital near the RNC and you're suffering from kidney failure, right? And I get shot by one of the people of the AR-15s right in the head, but all the rest of my organs are fine. But I'm not an organ donor. Can you take my kidneys or take any of my organs?
No.
Can you, let's say my blood happens to match your rare blood type and will save your life if I happen to give my blood, but I say no. Can you force me?
Nope. Oh, wait. Unless you've been arrested for a DUI. Then I can take your blood.
Okay. So you're saying that, drunk people and dead bodies have more rights than
women
do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Thanks for that. Helpful synopsis. Where is the rights outrage over the Ninth Amendment? I don't even think I've heard any talking head on the right mention it. It's the amendment that comes before the Tenth Amendment, which is a favorite of at least the right of yesterday, because the Tenth Amendment assigns all powers not delegated to the United States or the federal government, or prohibited to the states, to either the states or the people. Oh, Tenth Amendment, that's the whole states' rights business. States' rights, yes, except when not. People's rights, yes, but just the bump stocks and the Second Amendment, but screw you, ladies. It just doesn't wash. None of this holds together as a cogent set of political philosophy, of moral philosophy, of policymaking. None of it holds together.
Conjecture here, but maybe it's the same people that hold to the law that you can't be gay because of the Bible, but eat shellfish every day.
Yeah.
Same folks. Okay, cool.
So there was a term for this that I learned from some of my Jewish friends. They called a lot of Christians smorgasbord Christians or buffet Christians. Like, oh, I'll take that, but not that. Now, this piece over here, I'll ignore that taxate or the interest rate thing and the shellfish, but definitely the gay people in like most of the Old Testament. But, I'll ignore the parts of the New Testament that might conflict. That kind of thing. I'm so over it. I'm so exhausted by all this. Listen, I think we had a little miscommunication with Miss Annalise. We'll get that sorted out. If we don't have her today, we will definitely have her back later in the week. But I wanted to share with everybody, here's what Joe Biden is doing on women's freedom to choose the healthcare for themselves in consultation with their, again, selected healthcare providers and selected religious advisors or not. He has directed federal agencies to further their efforts to support patients, providers, and pharmacies that support and seek medical abortion. The FDA and Biden's DOJ has defended mifepristone, thank God, before the Supreme Court, who is presented with a case to overturn it, coming from that Cracker Jack Fifth Circuit stocked with a bunch of Trump appointees. Kamala Harris has traveled to 20 states to meet with legislators and healthcare providers about state abortion policy, advising and fighting for expanded access. The Biden administration directed the VA to provide valid reproductive care counseling and, in certain circumstances, abortion care to veterans and VA beneficiaries. Biden directed the Department of Defense to do the same for active service members, and the department has issued policy allowing service members to travel across state lines to access necessary reproductive care. The GOP's response to that, courtesy of Senator Tommy Tuberville, that women's health expert who used to be a football coach, he's not a women's health expert, was to hold up all military promotions, undermining the nation's military readiness, and disrupting the chain of command. That was Senator Tuberville's response to that Biden administration policy. And I'm not done yet. Don't go anywhere, everybody. We're going to take a very, very short break. I'm going to keep going through that list, and I'm going to talk a little bit about access to contraception, a particular challenge that I experienced personally in my life. So don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
Oh, thank God we live in this time.
I don't think you own me. I don't think Tommy Tuberville owns you or me or any woman. I don't think Donald Trump does. I don't think Samuel Alito does. I don't think your religion belongs on my body because you don't own me. I don't mean to be too rhetorical here, but the inability to control one's body, in fact, the state's usurpation of control over your body, is a form of forced servitude in furtherance and propagation of religion. Think about this. It is the government taking control of women's bodies, forcing them to undergo life-threatening medical events based on religious beliefs. It is a form of slavery endorsed by the Supreme Court, endorsed by the state of Alabama, Texas, Georgia, because people want to see their religion in government. There is no full equality, that value that we supposedly espouse in this country, without equal autonomy. There is no true equality without equal autonomy, equal freedoms, equal rights, not just for women, but the LGBTQIA community. For kids, reading books, that freedom necessitates this arena of autonomy. And as matters pertaining to my body and my mind, those things are self-evident. Self-evident that they must be protected by our government and our court system. Too bad that ain't what we hear from Republicans. Let's take a little listen to what Donald Trump thinks should happen to women who get abortions. This is back from, I believe, 2016 in March in an interview with Chris Matthews. Let's take a listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 years,
I don't
what?
Know. That I don't know.
He hasn't thought any of it through. If you listen to the whole thing, he has not thought one bit beyond it has to be done.
That's pathetic. And it would be only pathetic, but the result is tragedy, pain, more death, more suffering. Don't take my word for it. Study published yesterday by Johns Hopkins University says infant mortality has gone up 8% in the state of Texas since its near total abortion ban took effect in September of 2021. But let's continue with the list, it being the 17th day of Joe Biden's top 100, it being healthcare week, today being a topic of abortion. Let's continue to talk about what Joe Biden has done to protect women's healthcare freedoms. The Department of Health and Human Services under Joe Biden has issued guidance that the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, that's EMTALA, preempts state law and in fact may permit or require emergency abortion care to save the life and health of the mother. Duh. What if I just said that my religion says that no medical interventions are ever moral, that you just have to give it to God? What if I said that my religion therefore means that no one can receive any emergency care in an ER? Is there a problem under EMTALA with that?
I think every season on a medical show, there's at least one or two episodes that deal with that specific issue.
I mean, come on. And the Biden administration has defended the right of women to travel across state lines for abortions. In November of just this past year, the DOJ filed statements of interest in lawsuits challenging Alabama's threat to prosecute women who seek or aid abortion care across state lines. Isn't that lovely? So you can't get it here, but you can't go anywhere else to get it. But states' rights.
Again, how are you going to?
They're going to track people's cell phones. That's what they're
going to. Okay, you go there, you go back. Were you going for a consult? How can you prove that they're pregnant or not?
They'll just, again, violate HIPAA. They'll violate HIPAA, subpoena your medical records, and prosecute you under Alabama state laws. That's what I'm talking about here. Oh, just on that point. Biden's Department of Health and Human Services has finalized a rule to strengthen the Health Information and Privacy Act and protect someone's information related to reproductive care from state investigations, state lawsuits, and state prosecutions. Duh. Biden has issued an executive order, number 14101, directing all federal agencies to which this would apply, to expand and ensure access to contraception through insurance and over-the-counter. In addition, HHS has proposed a rule to expand coverage of prescription contraception under the Obamacare so that all women who want it can have it at no cost. I want to talk about this. This is the personal story. I've told it before. I lived in Indiana for a year. I had a contraceptive failure. Back then, Plan B required a prescription. My doctor wrote it. I went to Walgreens to get it filled, handed it over. Woman behind the counter read it, and she said, "Oh, dear, I need to go get the pharmacist. Oh, dear." An old guy in a white coat came up to me and said, "We're not filling this." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "I just won't fill this." I took a beat. And my 22-year-old self looked at the 65-year-old-plus man in his white coat, and I said to him, "I work for a federal judge. I suggest you go back there and fill my prescription. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem." And he did so. I ask you, imagine all of the women across that country, across our country, who weren't in that position, maybe weren't lawyers, didn't know how to advocate for their own rights. I'll summarize this when we come back after news, weather, and sports. And I got to talk about some of Donald Trump's other crazy ideas. When we come back, I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. Freedom! You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I think people will do what's right. They don't need a government mandate to do that.